So today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Shastrakrit Prabhu to enlighten us on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving us your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Now you can start. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mata. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vinda. జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్తవృంద జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్తవృంద అసలు somebody is talking in the background. Is there any way to
can we mute? Can everybody please check their phones, make sure they're on mute? Please mute yourself.
And this is, we are going to read, starting from text 53. We will continue reading till we come across Srila Prabhupada's purport. So this verse, it says, Vamsi Gite Hare Krishna Lakshmi Adira Mana. Translation: Lord Krishna even attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune simply by vibrating its transcendental flute. Text 54. Kasyanu bhavo asyana deva vidmahe Vahangri Renu Sparshadha Dikhara Yad Vanchaya Shrir Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dritta Vrata. Translation: O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Purport: This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36 was spoken by the wives of Kaliya serpent. Text 55. Yogya Bhave Jagatha Yata Yuvatira Gana. Yuvatira Gana. Translation: Krishna attracts not only the minds of the gopis and the goddess of fortune, but the minds of all young girls in the three worlds as well. Text 56. Striyange tikala padamrita venu gita sammohitarya charitanna chale trilokyam trilokya saubhagam idamcha nirikshrupam yad godvijadruma Mrga Ulakhani Abiran. translation. My dear Lord Krishna, where is that woman within the three worlds who would not be captivated by the rhythms of the sweet songs coming from your wonderful flute? Who would not fall down from the path of chastity in this way? Your beauty is the most sublime within the three worlds. Upon seeing your beauty, even cows, birds, animals, and trees in the forest become stunned in jubilation. Purport. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-40. Guru Tulya Stri Ganera Vatsalya Akarshana Dasya Sankhyadi Bhave Purusadi Gana. The woman of Vrindavana who are on the level of superior guardians are attracted to Lord Krishna maternally. The men of Vrindavana are attracted as servants, friends, and fathers. Text 58. Pakshi, Mruga, Briksha, Lata, Chetana, Achetana, Prema, Mattakari, Akarshaye, Krishna Guna. The qualities of Krishna captivate and attract everything living and non-living. Even birds, animals, and trees are attracted to Krishna's qualities. Text 59. Hari sabde nanarka dui mukhyatama Sarva Amangala Hare Prema Diya Hare Mana. Although the word Hari has many different meanings, two of them are foremost. One meaning is that the Lord takes away all inauspicious things from His devotee. And the second meaning is that He attracts the mind by ecstatic love for God. Eche taiche yohi kohi karaye smarana chari vidha tapa tara kare samharana. Translation, this is for text 60 and this has purport, so we will read this one. This is the last one. When the devotee somehow or other always remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead anywhere and everywhere, Lord Hari takes away life's four miserable conditions. Purport. The four miserable conditions are due to four kinds of sinful activities known as Pataka, Urupataka, Mahapataka, and Atipataka. Preliminary sin, very great sin, greater sin, and topmost sin. However, Krishna assures the devotee, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masuchaha. I will protect you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. The word Sarva Papebhya indicates four kinds of sinful activities. As soon as the devotee surrenders unto Krishna's lotus feet, is certainly relieved from all sinful activities and their results. The four basic activities are summarized as illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilita Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshtarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So very beautiful verses giving us understanding of the spiritual world and different rasas that are happening in the spiritual world. Like Srila Prabhupada, in many lectures, he talks about these different rasas that the living entities have with Krishna in the spiritual world. In the material world, for example, a cow is inferior to a human. And an insect is inferior to a cow. And like that, you know. A plant is inferior to an insect. So there's like gradations like that, inferior, superior. But in the spiritual world, Prabhupada explains that all living beings are actually conscious. They're conscious and Krishna loves them equally. Like Prabhupada explains that Krishna shows so much affection to a calf as much as he shows to Srimati Radharani. And everybody is happy. Everybody is completely satisfied in their position. And the devotee in the spiritual world, he's completely satisfied with his or her service. In this material world, we are always in competition. We think like, I want to be like such and such. I want to, you know, get the position of such and such. I want to be better than such and such, like that. But in the spiritual world, everyone is completely satisfied. And everybody thinks that Krishna is only with them, and Krishna loves them the most, and they're doing wonderful service for Krishna. Just like in the Rasa Leela, Krishna was dancing with so many gopis, but Krishna made them feel that Krishna was only looking at them, and Krishna is completely absorbed in them, like that. Even in the Ratha Yatra pastime with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, but then it appeared that simultaneously he was dancing in so many parties. There were so many groups of devotees that were leading kirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in every party and everyone felt like Mahaprabhu is only with them. So this is the beauty of the spiritual world. Krishna is not limited. He can be simultaneously in the homes of, in the palaces of all the 16,108 gopis. It's not like the material world. Bhagavatam says in Kali Yuga that Dakshyam Kudumba Bharanam. If one can maintain one family, then such a person is called a Daksha in Kali Yuga, means expert. But Krishna is not limited like that. Krishna is unlimited. And he was simultaneously present in 16,108 palaces. And each queen, she felt that, you know, Krishna is only with her. And Krishna was completely giving full attention. And then in the morning, Narada Muni was going to different palaces to see what Krishna is doing. In some places, Krishna is being a father. In some places, Krishna is being a henpecked husband. In some places, Krishna is performing morning rituals. In some places, Krishna is chanting Gayatri. In some places, you know, like this, Krishna was performing different pastimes in different palaces, and Narada Muni was amazed. And in the morning, all 16,108 Krishnas, they became one, and he boarded his chariot and went to the Sudharma assembly hall to take care of the daily duties as the king, Dwarakadish. Like this, you know, the spiritual world is unlimited. And everyone is serving. Everyone is serving. And these four special qualities that are mentioned out of the 64 opulences of Krishna, Lord Narayana, Vishnu possesses 60 of them. The four opulences that are mentioned, that, you know, one of them is Krishna's flute playing, and Krishna's beauty, and Krishna's leela, and Krishna's associates. So these are very unique. So this flute playing, when Krishna, it's mentioned how when Krishna plays the flute, he attracts the minds of the goddess of fortune. He attracts the minds of the gopis, what to speak of all other, you know, inferior living beings. We just read how Krishna attracts the hearts and minds of all the women in the creation. And Krishna attracts all the moving and non-moving when he plays the flute. They all go into ecstatic symptoms. It's mentioned when Krishna plays his flute, you know, the inanimate, like Govardhan Hill, for example, it's a hill, but, you know, it melts. The hill melts and starts flowing like a river in ecstasy. And when Krishna plays the flute, Yamuna River becomes frozen like Govardhan, like a hill. It doesn't move. And when Krishna plays the flute, then the birds that are flying in the sky, they just drop down and faint, frozen in ecstasy. When the calves, when they're drinking milk from the udders of the mother, when they hear Krishna's flute, then they become frozen with their, you know, foam in their mouth, and the grass in the mouth, they look like some statue. And even the pebbles and stones that Krishna step on, like we know this famous prayers by the gopis, how, you know, they were worried because Krishna's foot is so soft that they were worried. Even when Krishna's foot touches the softest part of their body, it becomes reddish. So they were worried when Krishna steps on a pebble or a thorn, what's going to happen? Krishna's foot is so soft, but then when he wants to punish Putana or different demons, then his foot becomes like thunderbolt. But then, generally speaking, for devotees, it's so soft, like Pada Kamalam, like lotus flower. But then when Krishna steps on the pebbles and thorns, they become like so soft. They so become out of service, out of ecstasy, they become so soft, like a marshmallow. They become like sponge-like. In this way, Krishna attracts the hearts and the minds of all living beings. But except for Vaishnavas, you know, nobody knows these things. People have no understanding of what happens in the spiritual world. Like I've mentioned in the past, how, you know, going to convent, you know, as a child, you know, they're always talking about, you know, heaven and going to, you know, all the religions, they have this concept of heaven or paradise or moksha or nirvana, or, you know, like how to break free from samsara. But they don't have knowledge of what happens in the spiritual world. They're like clueless. Also, as a child, as a kid, you know, at home we hear, you know, from a Vaishnava family, we hear like, you know, the family talking about Vaikuntha and Narayana and, you know, Vishnu Loka and Chintamani Dham and like that. But then you go to school, you go to convent, and then you ask the father or the nuns, you know, what happens when you go to the paradise? What happens when you go to the heaven? They have no idea. They're like, they just rub your head like, oh, you know, you're so cute. They think like your question is so cute, but they don't really have an answer. So the whole world, you know, mudoyam abhijanati, Krishna explains that the whole world don't understand him. Mameva param avyayam is supreme and inexhaustible position. Nobody understands. That's why when Srila Prabhupada came, when Swami Srila Prabhupada came to America, you know, he mentions that, you know, he is the only Swami that came from India, or only yogi, bhakti yogi that came from India, that did not claim to be God. Everyone else, basically, they were teaching the same things about, you know, how this philosophy of impersonalism and voidism, how, you know, I'm God and you're God and everybody is God and like this. This is such a foolish proposition, because, you know, if anybody who understands, and by reading these verses from the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will be so humble. It's no way that we can actually claim to be God. One day a few days ago, I met some guy on the book table. At the book table, and he was actually initially very nice. He's like, oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu, and all this. And then he started talking, And then he surprised me. He said, "Oh, you know, I chanted Hare Krishna for 5 years and I read the Bhagavad Gita completely." And he was going on. And then all of a sudden he says, "And then I found this different kind of meditation." And then he goes, "I found this Shiva meditation." And then he says, "Through Shiva meditation, I realized that there is no other God other than me. I am it and all this nonsense." So, you know, I was like all disturbed, like unexpectedly I got caught talking to this person who's generally in book distribution. We are trained.
Hare Krishna, I think Prabhuji got disconnected. Maybe he will join back.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, now we can hear you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, in the middle of the call, something happened to my phone connection. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you.
Okay, so this person was talking like this in the book table. So this is actually, I was surprised because generally in the book distribution, we are trained to, you know, not to waste any time with, you know, time wasters. Like if somebody is a, you know, hardcore Christian or somebody is a hardcore Muslim and like this, and you know that, you know, they're going to take your time from sharing with innocent people, then, you know, we were trained. I'm just trying to find the headphones. We were trained not to waste time with this kind of people. But what happened is this person surprised me because in the beginning he said he's, you know, it's chanting and everything. So I was
eager to talk to him. So when he told me, like, oh, I've realized, like, you know, that I am Krishna, then, you know, I was, like, disappointed, you know, but I didn't want to, you know, get into an argument with him in the book table where people are watching and stuff, you know. So I didn't get into it with him. I just jokingly said, like, oh, you know, how's that working out for you? Because, you know, this person looked like he was suffering so much. He had like a big tumor in his neck and he couldn't hardly walk and he looks unhappy and his wife looks unhappy. You know, so he kept saying, like, I went inside. Sorry, just wanted to make sure everybody can still hear me.
Yes, Prabhu, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. So I went inside the store and this person keeps following me. And then he goes, oh, I like to discuss when I meet people like you just to, you know, have spiritual discussions or whatever, you know. So he keeps following and then he kind of forced me to say something. So I said, you know what? According to him, that all living entities are God and then performing Leela in the material world. I said, you know, God never comes under his Maya. Maya is always subordinate to Krishna. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate saracharacharam. So if God is performing Leela and then God becomes a pig, and then he's eating stool, that's so nasty, so why would anybody want to experience such a leela? And then I told him how, you know, his goal apparently is to become merged with God. I said, we're not concerned about that because, you know, even the demons that Krishna kills, they get, you know, they get liberation of merging with Krishna's effulgence. So I told them, why do we want to take that position that even the demons get? And then he was all like defensive. He was so like, oh, that's not true. I said, what do you mean? That's not true. I'm speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, and you're telling me it's not true. I told him, so it's better that you go back and refresh your memory about the, you know, this philosophy, and better to take a humble position and chant the names of God without envy. So that's what it is. Basically, it's envy. Envy of God, envy of Krishna. That's what it brought us to the material world. And when we came to the material world out of envy of Krishna, and we want to be Krishna. And as soon as we come across this philosophy, you know, this Mayavad philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavad bhashya sunile hai sarvanash. If anybody hears the Mayavad philosophy, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Is basically his spiritual life is doomed. It's just his spiritual life is ruined. Because once that poison enters, Sanatana Goswami also said the same thing. Ah, Vaishnava Mukadagirnam, Utaharikata Amrita, Sravanam Nakartavyam Sarpochishta Etopaya. That Ah Vaishnava Mukadagirnu. Same thing is mentioned in the Bhagavata. Ah Vaishnava Guru Nasya. That, you know, if you're not a devotee, if you're not a Vaishnava, basically you're not authorized to be a guru. You're not authorized to be a teacher. Why? Because when we hear from the mouth of the non-devotees, then what happens is we become poison. We are already envious. That's why we are in the material world. And we come across philosophy like this, then it reassures, okay, it kind of fulfills the purpose of us being in the material world. You know, I'm God and you're God. And everybody is God. And, you know, it's very convenient. But it's a very, like, rotten philosophy. Actually, only, like, Nityananda Prabhu can save such Mayavadis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Gopal Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, when he was traveling one time on his way to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then this one so-called devotee joined him. His name was Ram Das. And he was constantly chanting the names of Ram, and he was crying tears, and he was in ecstasy. He was doing all these things, and you know, this Raghunath Bhatta Goswami felt inferior to him, felt junior to him. But he insisted he carry his bags and belongings and like this. So when they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving so much affection and love for Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. But he wouldn't even look at this so-called Ram Das, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can see that this person, by chanting Ram, 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 but ultimately his goal was to that, you know, he wants to become one with Ram. So it's very unfortunate, like every day, all around, like, you know, among our relatives and friends and, you know, society and the people we meet, this Mayavadi philosophy is so prominent. It's so like it's like a disease. It's so disgusting, actually, because out of all the like five major acharyas, recognized acharyas, like Vishnu Swami, Nimbark Swami, you know, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, you know, only one Acharya, Sankaracharya, taught this philosophy of Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. And, you know, the Britishers wanted to popularize this philosophy of Sankaracharya, so that, you know, the Hinduism as we have it today is basically people are clueless and they're just talking about the point of view of one Acharya, and even they don't understand his inner mood. And everybody is talking so much nonsense, you know, we're so confused. Like Hinduism means, like, you know, worshipping so many devatas, just like the mentality in India. It's basically go to any office and nothing happens until we bribe the, you know, authorities. You cannot move the paperwork. So the same mentality, you know, we want to, you know, bribe the devatas, the demigods, and then we get something in return. So this kind of mentality. So Krishna is saying that, you know, whatever the demigods can give and much more I can give, so why don't you come to me? That's Krishna's claim in the Bhagavad Gita. What are you afraid of? Whatever you want, I'm happy to give. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaridi ivrena bhakti yogena yajetam purusham param. So Bhagavatam says, whether you're full of material desires or no material desires, or you want to attain liberation or no liberation, or you want bhakti, like, you know, worship Krishna. Moksha kama tivrena bhakti yogena, do bhakti yoga. And, you know, so Krishna is saying the same thing. Mam ekam saranam raja, like we read in the purport today. Aham tvam sarva papebhya mokshayishami masucha. Krishna is saying, don't go here and there flattering, you know, the senator and the mayor and the cops, and, you know, you're connected with the president. What more do you need? You're all set. You already have the main connection. But people are so confused. People are like clueless. They don't know who is God, who is Supreme, and who are all the devatas. And, you know, they just worship anyone and anything and everyone. You know, how are we going to get any benefit? Like Krishna told Nanda Maharaj during the Indra Yajna. Like, he asked, Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj, what is the point of all this Indra Yajna? And Nanda Maharaj didn't have a clear answer. Just, you know, or he didn't want to give much because he was a little boy asking. So Krishna says, one who does something, understanding the purpose behind, you know, the what he is doing, then he gets full benefit. Otherwise, you know, it's just wasting time. So people are clueless. People don't know who is Supreme. Without understanding God as a person, there is no question of success in spiritual life. In our experience, how, you know, have we ever loved, you know, any, like, you know, just energy and light and smoke and fell in love with the sky? Unless we understand, you know, Krishna, God is a person, his name is Krishna, like this, you know, our efforts won't be focused. It'll be all over, splayed out. Krishna says in the Gita, Vyavesatmika Buddhi, Eke Hakurunandana. Bahu Saka hi Anantasya Buddhayo Vyavasayin. You know, those who are determined, who are irresolute in purpose, you know, only devotees, only bhakti yogis can be like so focused. Otherwise, others, Krishna says, Bahu Saka hi Anantasya. Others, you know, their intelligence is not fixed, displayed out. Like all over the place. You know, 1 minute, you know, going to temple, next minute into cricket, next minute into politics, next minute into Bollywood dance, next minute into, you know, this and that. So such a person, it's very risky. Very risky. You know, it's like entering, depositing regularly onto a wrong bank account. If we know the right bank account number, even we're making small deposits, it's all accumulating. But if we're entering amounts, even big amounts, to the wrong bank account number, it's just it's useless. So by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, by reading Bhagavad, we are eager. We are eager to go to the spiritual world. Because like in the Christianity, they say like everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. Because people don't have knowledge about heaven, what happens there. So all we know is, you know, whatever we see around us. Then it becomes scary to let go of the things that we know about and we experience. But if we understand more and more, and we see how amazing Krishna Loka is, Krishna Leela is, Krishna's beauty is, Krishna's flute playing, how powerful is Krishna, how merciful is Krishna, and you know, we are eager to perform bhakti, and this way, even though you know Kali Yuga life is short, but still we can attain a perfection even in this short time that we have. So these are some of the thoughts this beautiful verse and purport. Many of the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis want to add anything or ask anything. Please, we have like 10 minutes or so.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful class. Thank you so much for instructions and beautiful description of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And now I would request the devotees, if they have any questions or comments for Prabhuji, they can ask. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Is this Ram?
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
If no one has any question or comment for Prabhuji, we can end the call.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Prabhuji, you are talking about Mayavadi philosophy. If you hear, you will get distracted and you will be falling in the Maya, right? So, but usually some people, how can we identify? Some people say, you know, some people doesn't mean that they are following Mayavadi. They say like, you know, instead of donating in a temple, you can donate to the, you know, some orphanage. You can, you know, helping, giving money to the God instead, you can do like that. So they talk these kind of things also. So how do we understand? I think you got what point I'm telling you, Prabhu. Can you little explain how to deal in such situation, how to make them understand? This is the proper way to follow, not that one. Manava Seve, Madhava Seve, they quote, right, Prabhuji? What do you say about that?
Yes, so, you know, the scriptures say that if somebody is innocent and, you know, they're talking nonsense, naturally, if they're not devotees, you know, we expect them to talk nonsense because that's all they know. But if they're not envious, then we can show mercy. Like they say, like the, you know, Bhagavatam says that, you know, we show mercy, daya, to the juniors. And we make friends with the devotees that are on equal platform. And then we serve our superiors, we serve the devotees that are superior to us, and then we avoid the envious. So these are the four classes of people that are mentioned. Some will be innocent and junior to us, junior meaning not necessarily like in age, but in terms of spiritual understanding. And with them, it doesn't hurt, like if somebody, you know, talks like that, for example, then we can encourage them because, you know, just to have the heart of giving, that's actually a wonderful quality. So we don't need to, you know, discourage them, but we can encourage them and then gently point out, like, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, I always give this example to people whenever they tell me, like, oh, you know, I don't like to donate for book, but I'd like to donate for homeless or something. I tell them, like, you know, you can save the coat of a drowning man, but the higher than that is to save the drowning man itself. So like that, you can help But the real help is to save the soul and bring them to Krishna. That solves all the problems. So if they're non-envious and they're, you know, they're just misguided, we can take time to gently point out that, you know, it's wonderful they have good intentions to serve, but they should find out what the best service is. Since they're going out of the way to serve, why not get the best value for their bucks like that?
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I have a question.
Yes.
You said first we shouldn't serve the demigods, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But also, I was trying to understand this. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says how we receive, you know, I guess necessity of life, to maintain life, from the demigods, and we should offer it back to them, in a sense. And I know it also says that, you know, anyone that partake in Sankirtan Yajna don't really have to, you know, by you partaking in that, you're offering it back to the demigods. You know, once the Lord is pleased, the demigod is pleased as well. But what about people who don't partake in Sankirtan? What is the recommended process for them? Do they offer it back to the demigods? What is the process? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, Krishna says that's avidhi purvakam. That's like a detour, or that's like an indirect way of, you know, attaining the goal of life. So if somebody doesn't know about Krishna consciousness, and, you know, they're worshipping some demigods, that's actually better than, you know, nothing, and better than being an atheist, because, you know, they're recognizing somebody higher than them and they're showing gratitude. But Krishna explains that, you know, it's not necessary to worship the demigods. Of course, we respect them. Like Prabhupada would often explain, a Vaishnava even respects an ant, like the story of the Mrigari, the hunter. But that doesn't mean we call the demigods as the supreme. That's where we differ. Like Lord Chaitanya, in his tours in South India, he would go into the temple of Shiva and worship and offer prayers to Lord Shiva. And like this, you know, there were so many instances. Even Lord Ramchandra, because he killed Ravana, who happened to be a devotee of Shiva, then he worshipped Shiva Lingam and apologized. So, you know, Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rama, they all show example of how, you know, we have to be so respectful to the devatas. But that doesn't mean that we misunderstand them to be the supreme. That's what Krishna is saying, don't do it. But, you know, even in the modern times, even the people that worship demigods, they don't have the mood like you just mentioned, because only a devotee understands. Generally speaking, the materialistic people, they go to the demigods and bribe them with this and that, and then when they get what they want, they never hear back from them. It's just like a business transaction. There's like a Bengali funny story my friend told me a long time ago. He said there was one pujari for Kali, and the pujari prayed to Mother Kali, "Oh, if you give me such and such, I will offer you a goat in sacrifice." So he got whatever he wanted, and Kali asked, "Oh, at least, you know, you promised me a goat, at least give me a chicken." And then the pujari said, oh, chicken, that's so expensive. There are so many flies buzzing around. Just catch one and eat it if you're hungry, you know. So their mentality is like they'll worship anyone, anything, just to get what they want, but it's not real love. It's just a business transaction. So Krishna is saying that antapattu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedasam. You go to demigods and you get some results, which is temporary, and then you have to come back to the world of birth and death. So why to invest in something temporary, and then why not come back to me? I'll give you everything that the demigods can give you, and much more, namely eternal life in Vaikuntha. So, yeah, this, I don't know if it helped, if it answered your question.
Thank you, Prabhu.
You're welcome.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If no one has any question now, then we can end here. Okay, thank you so much for joining this mid-morning Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So we will offer obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancham Kalpataru Bhesham.